Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ray and Kay today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Kay today.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile.
Ray,
and they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA, MLB, college football.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. It's Friday, and you're here with us talking sports with friends, Ray and Tay. Today, I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Happy Halloween. Hey, you want to join the show? Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, shoot us your emails at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out the website, rayandtaytoday.com. Tweet at us, folks, because we get back to you on Twitter. We've had a lot of good time talking sports there at Ray and Tate Today. Also on Facebook, check us out. Ray, we got a lot of interesting things to talk about, but how about the Knicks spoiling the Kings' return to Cleveland? Wow. Shocker, huh?
You know, it is a shocker, but it shouldn't be, because shame on us. We should remember that even when they had the big three in Miami, which eventually they went to four straight NBA finals, it took them a while to get it together. So, you know, Kyrie Irving, who actually played well, probably the best of the big three, and Kevin Love and LeBron, they didn't have enough time in the preseason to get it together. So you got to give them 20, 30 games to get it together. But, yes, I was very surprised at the outcome.
Yeah, no, good win for the Knicks. I mean, but shooting 54% and, like, assisted on 39 their buckets, that's one thing that you can be concerned about with the Cleveland Cavaliers is their defense, rotations, and are they good enough defensively? That's sort of where I think LeBron will have to step up the most to sort of save guys. But I do like Waiters. I do like their bench. And I think Varejao is sort of the perfect role player. Tristan Thompson has got to figure out his position and role with Marion off the bench to be sort of more of a clean it off the glass, get the dirty work points. You know what I mean? And that's going to be interesting tonight.
I think they just extended Varejao, too. So they're committed to Varejao.
Oh, yeah. No, a lot of guys got new contracts, but two guys that did not, right? Today was the deadline. What you think about, and I guess so, they'll be unrestricted free agents or restricted free agents this year. Klay Thompson and, Brandon Knight as well. But
Klay Thompson just signed right under the gun. He signed a five-year, $70 million deal, yeah.
Wow, okay. Klay got his. Good. Because I thought that, you know, possibly.
Sorry,
oh, yeah.
Four-year, $70 million
deal.
He signed the max.
It's a four-year. Because I was going to ask you, if they didn't give him the contract, which would have been silly considering they know, these teams know, their salary cap is going up. I don't think Rubio signed. Oh, no, Ricky Rubio and the Wolves. Oh, they agreed too. Wow. So, okay. So Rubio got about, what, $6 million? No, they're $6 million apart. So they didn't do the extension with Rubio. I guess he wants the max and they want less. Couple of guys, you know, Brandon Knight didn't sign. Klay Thompson got his. There was one other guy that did not, Kawhi Leonard. That's the one I was asking you about. Kawhi Leonard did not sign the extension. Do you think should they be concerned? Or are they going to keep him? You know what I mean?
They have to keep him. He's the only – I think he's a star right now, and he'll become even more of a star, you know, as the season progresses. And he's also the next generation of Spurs because eventually, I don't know when, sooner than later – Parker, Ginobili, and Duncan are
and
all
Parker will
retire.
Hang around longer than Ginobili.
No, I'm joking, yeah, but I'm saying he's the only real like star potential that's in his 20s. You know, youth.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny.
Youths.
Ray, what about this? Talk about average in the NBA salaries. It's sort of like baseball pitching, right, with left-handers. Alec Burks from the Utah Jazz, he signs 4-year, $42 million. And I'm thinking, wow, he's worth $10 million a year? He's not that good, right? Alec Burks?
No.
He's a six-man, at best a six-man. $10 million
that might
a year.
Be another, that might be another one of those anticipating the salary cap going up, because you're right. I looked at that and I'm thinking to myself, really?
So before we get into more hoops talk, Ray and Tay, we're going to give you our top five in the NBA for this season at each position. It's kind of interesting. We'll tell you, you know, what we're thinking. We got, you know, debated. We'll get some of your emails, you know, been getting some responses with that on Twitter as well. But we're going to talk about not just the Kings' return and how much he's worth to the city. It's great. And you know, they're going to be fine. They'll probably only lose three or four games at home all year. So a good thing for the Knicks to get that. And tonight you got the classic matchup of the Cavs and Bulls, which we both are predicting to be 1-2 in the East. It's an early battle, but I'll tell you, Ray, I was texting you the other night, that Bulls team, that's why I predicted them to go and win it all. They look so deep. And wait till Butler and Snell get going. You saw a little taste of Mirotic and Dougie McBuckets looking good. That team is going to be nasty, because that big man rotation, it's just the best in the league. Gibson is so underrated. He's easily a top 10 power forward. We have him not in the top five, but he's easily a top 10. The guy is great. But I want to ask you, is Madison Bumgarner, and we got to give the Giants their props. Ray picked it in seven. Giants win 3-2, win 4-3 in the series. He's MVP. Two victories, and he gets a save. They switched it an hour after the game. He didn't get the win, which they gave him by accident. But he gets a save. Ray, if you're picking, do you take him over Clayton Kershaw, or do you have to go with Clayton, even though Madison is a year younger and got jewelry and seems to be more clutch right now?
Wow. I tell you what, you wouldn't be happy picking second in that draft. You know, obviously you want to pick first, but if you pick second, you'd be just as good, because I can't say anybody in baseball is better than Clayton Kershaw.
Right.
He's also a lefty, Madison Bumgarner. He's also devastating. He's been, 5-0 in World Series play?
Yeah.
This guy's unhittable in the World Series. Clayton Kershaw's unhittable as well.
All season long,
He didn't pitch well in the postseason, though. They got to him this year.
2 years in a row he hasn't, though.
So I hope he doesn't end up being like a Greg Maddux, who is, you know, one of the best pitchers of all time in the regular season, and in the postseason he's just mediocre. I hope that isn't what happens to Kershaw. I don't think it will. I just think, you know what, he just rose to the occasion. He's a very good pitcher who pitched lights out in the playoffs. And you called it. You kept saying Madison, which is interesting that you didn't pick them to win in the World Series, because you were riding that horse. And look, you can't lose.
Royals.
You can't lose Kershaw or Bumgarner. You can't lose. And they have him under contract for 3 more years. So they
might 25. He's incredible.
Yeah.
And 3 rings already. Pitched 21, 23, and 25. You know, it's so impressive, and we got to tip our hats to the Giants, and I like that team. They're still young. I mean, you got to believe they're still going to be great next year. They got to sign the big panda. That's the one big guy that they got
to
sign.
Well, apparently they're ready to let him go, which is funny.
I know.
Because
it's a mistake.
Let me just say something. Quiet is kept. You know, Madison Bumgarner had an unbelievable World Series when Pablo Sandoval, the Panda, hit 429. When's the last time a starter hit 429? That's like softball numbers. Hit 429 in the World Series and wasn't even in consideration for MVP. He didn't even probably get a vote.
Ray, he's a very underrated superstar. He's very clutch, and I think he's really one of the emotional leaders of that team, and it'd be a shame to see him go. Now, your boy, Renteria, was fired by the Cubs. They're going to hire Joe Maddon from the Rays. Right move? Does it seem kind of slim shady what they're doing, what they did to Renteria? And then also, will the Cubs be able to get Lester this offseason and then next offseason or during the season in the trade, maybe get David Price so he can go back to with his old manager? What do you think about that with the Cubs?
So, you know what? It is a little slim shady, and there might be some tampering issues because they sort of identified Maddon when he was still the Tampa Bay manager, but
he opted out.
Cubs fan, if you're a Cubs fan, you got to think to yourself, we got ourselves a hell of a manager. He might only be there for 5, 10 years, but you know what? We could win a World Series with this guy. I love Joe Maddon's temperament. I think, you know, being the underdog in the AL East, you know, earning your stripes, going to a World Series, he's the man. And you know, I don't know if Renteria is a good manager or not. He got a raw deal, got kind of a roster in transition. You know, Theo Epstein is still playing. Epstein is still playing around with that roster.
And they haven't spent big money yet, Ray. And I think they're going to do it this offseason. I bet you they get some pitching to go with that young lineup with Castro and some of those other guys.
It's almost like, you know, totally different analogy, but it's almost like the Clippers. You know, the one thing I will say about Donald Sterling is he and Elgin Baylor kept saying that they don't have any money to any stars to spend their money on. And if you look in retrospect, now partially it's because they didn't draft anybody, right? But if you look at it, the last 25 years, the Clippers, I mean, they had like Ron Harper, they had, you know, Danny Manning.
Well, they drafted early and nobody wanted to sign there. It was a horrible
Harper's
going to be great.
Well, but that's my point, though, with the Cubs as well. I mean, Anthony Rizzo's good. Starling Castro's good, but I don't know that they have, you know, that transcendent player yet. So save
your
money.
No, I think it's going to have to be
pitching. Go get yourself some pitching, and then let Joe Maddon, you know, help build you up a farm system and a way to do business like he did in Tampa, and you'll be fine. You might even be contending for a World Series in 3-4 years.
Great with the stats and the cybermetrics. Ray, I tell you, I think they get 2 pitchers, one more bat, and they'll develop the young guys, and in 2-3 years, they'll be ready to contend. I believe that. And for baseball fans, as we wrap up the baseball season, and we'll talk about all the postseason awards that come up, but you got to believe that everybody would be happy for the Cubs to finally win one and to be good again, because that's good for sports when the Cubs are good. The Cubbies are one of those franchises that sort of everybody and their mama wants them to, you know, to be good again and get one. So I think that would be good for the game. Now, we got to talk about Thursday Night Football. I didn't know this was going to occur. Maybe I knew, but I forgot. But even though it was no longer CBS on NFL Network, they still kept Phil and Jim Nantz doing the game. So I thought that was kind of good. Boring game. I went with the Panthers in the upset. You went with the Saints. You were right. 28-10. It just shows me, and I'd have to say, if we were doing Champs and Chumps, the chump of the season – is the ownership and Richardson and the GM of the Panthers, because honestly, what could Cam do with this offense? No offensive line. They never got a tackle after their Gross retired. No receivers except for Benjamin. And he's got 3 running backs that can't stay healthy and they just rotate in and out or whatever. Now they're back, but they're still not playing great. And it's like, it's just unfortunate because with that defensive talent, and then, of course, they have no pass rush now. The Hardy is not on the field because of his foolishness, and then his trial's moved to January, so he's going to try to get an exemption to see if he can come back, but he won't, so he'll be gone for the season. The Panthers will not make the playoffs. The Saints will win the division like we both predicted, and it's just a shame. So to me, there's not much to say about this game except for they have 3 in a row, the Saints, at home, because they've been on the road forever, right? They're 5-3, and they've been 1-5 running 1-4 on the road, and they've had 3 home games. So they're going to win their next, you know, at least 2 out of those 3 home games, even though they're playing the Saints, Bengals, and somebody else, Browns, I think. But Ray, I mean, give me your thoughts on how unfair it is to Cam Newton, and then your thoughts on the Saints, and are they ready to roll with Ingram getting over 100 yards 2 games, 2 weeks in a row.
And 2 touchdowns. He's finally turning into that Heisman Trophy first-round pick that they hoped he'd be, right? Because everybody was talking about Kyrie Robinson and his cadet and Pierre Thomas.
Ingram looks good. Yeah.
Ingram looks really good. He's not dynamic, but you know what? They have enough dynamism. Is that a word? Dynamism? With Drew Brees and his wide receivers.
Wait. As you say that word, I got to ask you this. As you got to say that word, speaking of the Dyna this and Dyna that, can we say now the Giants are a dynasty? Let's tip our hats for that too, right?
The Giants are dynamite. Think about it. 3 in the last 5 years. That's rare air. The Red
Especially
Sox
this era.
Yeah, the Red Sox did three, but it took them 10 years. Yeah. And the, well, not 10 years, what did they do? 4, 7, and 11. So it took them 8 years. The Yankees did 3 out of 4, 4 out of 5. And that's it. Then you got to go back to, you know, way, way back before you can get to three. So Giants are a dynasty. Brian Sabian, who, you know, the jury was out when he signed Zito and how he handled Bonds and everything, ended up putting together a heck of a lineup. Because if you look at this lineup in 20 years and you say to yourself, wow, this team won 3 out of 5? Now, in retrospect,
people will look at the Baseball Almanac, Ray, and be like, what? Or Google, let me say that. They don't look at the Baseball Almanac anymore.
It's a good thing Madison Bumgarner stepped up the way he did, because if you look at this lineup, well, shout out to Joe Panic, right? New York City kid, St.
Good
John.
Young kid, yeah.
Good young player. But you look at it, Pablo Sandoval, and you, Buster Posey had a terrible World Series, by the way.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And you look at Belt and Pagan and Pence and all these guys, and you say to yourself,
you say,
okay.
Who? That's what you say, right?
Exactly.
You say, who? Anyway, come
they're
on.
Okay.
So I just had a segue with that real quick and sidetrack you, but break down the Panthers, the GM, and your thoughts on the Saints going forward.
You know what? I called it in the beginning of the year. I said they're not going to make the playoffs. I said they might be the worst team. I mean, probably Tampa's worse than them, but they might be the second worst team. Everybody got caught up in the moment. You know, Riverboat Ron, and not his fault. And Cam is going to regress. You know, I hate to.
It's
Cam
not his
is on
fault
the borderline. To me, Cam isn't Andrew Luck, right? I have no doubts that Andrew Luck will be a Hall of Famer and he'll be a phenomenal quarterback.
Right, but
Cam
given the proper weapons, Cam will be fine.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. The problem, though, is he doesn't have the proper weapons. And now he throws up a stinker like he does last night. And then he has a few more of those stinkers. 10 out of 25, right? He throws up a couple more, or 10 out of 28, he throws up a couple more stinkers like that, and then his confidence gets blown a little bit, and he goes from being a borderline elite quarterback to a, you know, an average
middle
quarterback.
Middle of the
road, so,
yeah.
You know, it's terrible because this defense, you know, you got to strike while the iron is hot in football, and, you know, Kelvin Benjamin turns out to be a good draft pick, but they can't get that running game right. You know, Greg
and
Olson,
the way the and Ray, the way the NFL salary cap is, you can't keep a great defense forever with Hardy and Lukely and all these guys, and Luke Kuechly. So it makes it even worse that you don't keep a veteran like Steve Smith that is not going to bust your salary. You could have kept Smith, had him with Benjamin, and then still signed Cotchery and Avant. And, you know, Cotchery and Avant as a 3 and a 4, that's not that bad. It really isn't. And now look how good Brandon LaFell looks in New England. He looks like a stud in New England.
He does look like Ron Studd.
He's looking
really good. By the way, you know, the Saints now look like they were written off for dead 3 weeks ago, and now they look like they're going to win that division, you know, pretty easily.
Be interesting, though, if they can beat the Niners, though, right next Sunday. That's going to be in New Orleans. Niners-Saints will be pretty good. That'll be pretty good.
Yeah,
so that's
for
all
sure.
the current stuff. Now, before we there was something else I want to talk to you about before we get to this hoops, because, you know, we're getting hyped up with the hoops. We got the college football. We'll look at the rankings and the big games this week. But in terms of there was something else that happened in sport. Oh, this it's not a big deal. The whole Eric Decker thing. I guess we're not going to talk about the Jets and the football because they play the Chiefs this week. You know, there's other games. But what do you think about that with Eric Decker's wife and Eric Decker? You know, I guess he basically was saying something nice on Twitter, like trying to stir up, you know, things to give a giveaway with the Jets fans or whatever, and then somehow it turns into his wife, Jet fans ripping him on Twitter because they're 1-6 and they stink. And they're ripping Decker because he's not a number one receiver. And then the wife gets all like, well, we don't really care what you haters think anyway. We're like rich and happy, which makes her look stupid. Yeah.
You know what? I didn't even see it. But now that you say it, you know what it is? It's that venom of social media. You have to, if you're going to take the money, if you're going to take the money and you're going to come to New York, especially New York, but any big media market, and in this day and age, any NFL town, you got to put, what did your boy say in old school when he told his kids? He said, put the earmuffs on. You got to put the earmuffs on.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to put the social media
earmuffs
on.
But as a sibling and as a spouse, you can't stand up for your athlete, husband, wife, whatever, and get into, like, the foolishness. You know, even Mike and Mike were talking about a Golic, saying Golic, he was saying his wife doesn't respond to, you know, even when they talked about the kids, you know, Notre Dame or Golic, or, you know, you can't get into it. You have to stay above it and then respond with some response like, please, we don't care what you think, when actually his question was, hey, Jet fans, what do you think? You know what I mean? So then you can't come back and be like, we don't care what you think. You know, and be like, oh, we're great and we're rich and happy. We're laughing. We don't care. You know, that's just ugly. And she's like a country western singer. And I think they had some reality show. I don't know if they still have it.
Yes. I remember they had a reality show, one of those shows on E! When he was at, Denver.
Yeah, yeah. So let's get into the hoops, man. Let's get into the hoops. We already touched on sort of a couple of the opening games. By the way, the Spurs play the Suns tonight out here in Phoenix, and I'm feeling that the Suns are going to get a nice little upset. Are the Lakers going to go 0-82? That's what I wanted to ask you. And God bless. We got to send prayers out to Julius Randle. He's done for the season, broke his leg. That was really sad, you know, opening night. But the Lakers, Ray, did you hear that if they trade Kobe, that there might be some interest from the Knicks, Nets, Mavericks, some teams? Is that possible? Would that happen?
Well, Kobe has a no-trade clause, a full no-trade. So Kobe's obviously got to want to be traded, which, you know what, at this point in his career, now that he knows, I'm sure he knows in his heart that he's not going to play, at least not in L.A., because that roster's terrible. He might play, let's say he gets traded to Dallas and plays another year, maybe. But I wouldn't, you know, I'm torn. I always noticed Kobe is always going to be a Laker, even though he flirted with a couple other teams. He wasn't going anywhere. I can't see him on a 10-72 team or a 15-67 team.
Oh,
it'd
happy. Be depressing.
It'll be miserable, and it'll make everybody around him miserable. Byron Scott will be miserable. Mitch Kupchak will be miserable. His teammates will be miserable. So
a miserable
you know
stew,
what?
Yeah. You don't want to see that. Nobody wants to see that.
But how do you make salary cap room for somebody like that? $24 million, isn't that something like that? Isn't that what
maybe,
you make?
Maybe we send them Amari and J.R. Smith. Ah.
Yeah, but what does that do for the Knicks? I mean, what, so we make the playoffs? Why would we? I mean, it's nice if it puts fans in the stands, but it doesn't mean we're doing anything, you know? Even with
not
Kobe
doing
on this roster.
We're not doing hip hop with that. All right, so let's talk about it. We're just talking for this season, not career, not, you know, whatever. So Paul George is not in it because Paul George is not playing this season. We're talking about top five point guards, shooting guards, small forwards, power forwards, and centers in the NBA. You know, people always love to get into it. It's kind of interesting. Ray and Tay have some different thoughts, but we'll just go through real quick before we get to college football. We got some good games and five good games in NFL. Ray, point guard, I think we both would say Chris Paul is number one this season going in. Who's definitely number two? Would it be Westbrook off of the playoffs last year? Now, we know last night he hurt his hand, but he'll be back. I think he's going to be pretty amazing this season.
I think so. Even though I hate his game, in the sense that he's not a real point guard.
He's not pure. Right.
He's not pure.
But he is definitely purely talented.
But he's so talented. He's so gifted.
38 the first night on the Humble in that loss to the Trailblazers to my main man, Dame Lillard. So at three, would you go Rose or would you go Parker? Just because of how Parker not just wins, but will probably be such a great winner even again this season. What do you think?
I understand the argument for Tony Parker, and if you include playoffs, Tony Parker should be at the top of that list because nobody on the list done anything except for what Rajon Rondo and Derek Fisher.
Nobody,
no point guard has won a title, you know, in like 10 or 15 years. That's been
and 2 years ago. Rondo was on this list 2 years ago.
Yeah. So I love Tony Parker, and Tony Parker might be the guy if you need one game, and it's a playoff game, a clutch game.
It's hard to go against him.
You put him above Chris Paul, you put him above Westbrook, you put him above everything. But if you're talking about talent, again, another guy who's not pure, but his talent level is so off the charts, especially if he gets back healthy, which he looks like he might be close to being healthy.
Hey, tonight will be fun to see, though, right? Rose against Kyrie. That's worth putting down a 50 spot for tickets or, you know, or 100, right? All right, so we'll go with Rose. You won me over. Now, four, we'd have to put Parker there. I don't think Curry is ready to pass him. But would you put Curry five over Kyrie and Lillard? You'd probably have to say Curry's five, right?
I would. I don't love his defense.
Definitely not. But then again,
you know, the other guys aren't defensive stalwarts either, right? They don't play Russell Westbrook defense. So because of that, I think he's just so devastating and dynamic. And as good as Dame Lillard is, he's not as dynamic on offense as Steph Curry. Steph Curry is just devastating.
One thing I say Curry's got to do, he's got to stop the turnovers. Even opening night against the Kings, they almost lost the game to Sacramento because I think the Warriors had something like 26 turnovers. It was ridiculous.
Wow.
That's the one thing. And you figure Steve Kerr would get them I don't know. The Warriors are a weird team. They're hard to read. They could be anywhere from like a 2 seed to an 8 seed because they're very – you don't know if their offense is going to be better in terms of stopping the turnovers. You think Steve Kerr, they would. And then without Mark Jackson, Steve Kerr's not a defensive guy. Would their defense fall off? So that – and last year they were pretty good defensively. So that's going to be an interesting thing to watch. So let's go – okay, so let's go to shooting guard. So we got – basically we got Paul, Westbrook, Rose, Parker, Curry, and then our honorable mentions would be obviously Kyrie and Lillard, and Rondo could sneak back into this one, you know, if he winds up coming back healthy and does great this season.
Sure.
Celtics look good game one. So at shooting guard, first two is no question, right? Harden and Klay Thompson, you would say, right?
See, I don't know about Klay Thompson. I love his offensive game, but again,
he plays good. He's good defensively. Klay plays
good. He's all right. Klay. Well, look, he got that big contract. Let's see if he keeps playing. You know what? I went against the grain on this one because I know we talked about this a little bit off air.
You
got to knock off the king, right? And to me, Kobe Bryant is still the king.
Still the man.
Tobias. He's not Harden because what? Harden's like 10, 12 years younger. So maybe I'd take Harden, but I can't see many players in the league, let alone at the two guard, better than Kobe Bryant right now, even Klay Thompson.
Let me give you one knock, though, on Harden, even though he's solid number one. And I'll give Kobe two. I think Klay, though, is definitely ahead of Wade now. So I would disagree with you on put him at least three. But Harden, to me, and even opening night and watching the Rockets, and they're 1-1, but the one thing, and I was sent you a text about it, that they lost they won opening night against LA, but they didn't look too good. But Harden and Howard, to me, neither one of them are clutch players. And that team, I don't like that Houston team. They're sloppy. They're missing stuff. I like Ariza, but I could easily see the Rockets not making the playoffs, man. I think the Suns are overall going to be more exciting and better. You saw Isaiah Thomas and those three guards get busy opening night. 57 points. So I'm really not loving Howard and Harden right now, as great as they are individually, the best center and the best two guard. So now, let's say if you have Kobe 2 at 3, I'm going to say I got to go with Klay. You feel Wade, huh?
Again, playoff experience, one game. If you need over 82 games, of course.
Right, but we're talking
younger
for this whole season. Who's going to play better, the best this season?
Look, Klay Thompson's numbers are going to be better.
Wade might only play 65 games. Who knows? And Chris Bosh.
But when he wants to be D. Wade, he's D-Wade. When Klay Thompson wants to be Klay Thompson, he's still trying to figure out who that is.
Okay, all right. Maybe I'm jumping the gun a little. Maybe I'm jumping the gun. And then, if you had Wade 3, 4, would you say DeRozan, Klay Thompson, or Joe Johnson?
So, to me, one of them is trending down, one of them is trending up, or two of them are trending up. And Joe Johnson is the one that's trending down. I got to say, I was disappointed.
You'd put Klay ahead of Joe.
I took Klay ahead of Joe, and I took DeMar DeRozan. I put DeMar DeRozan ahead of Joe Johnson.
Wow.
And Klay
so
Thompson
you're very impressed with DeRozan, yeah.
Last season and the playoffs, second half of the season and the playoffs, this guy, who I thought he was just an athlete out of USC and wasn't much of a complete NBA player, this guy's
legit
the real
score.
Deal.
Yeah. 20 a game, easy. And then we'd have to say somewhere tied in there, though, we'd have to throw Lance or Make You Dance. I think, you know, if you wouldn't even have Lance Stephenson tied with Joe at 5, because Lance Stephenson, to me, he helped Charlotte opening night come back and being down 20-something, him and Kemba Walker, beat the Bucks in overtime. But I'll tell you, that Charlotte team, with Al Jefferson, they are going to be tough in the playoffs. I love Lance Stephenson. So I'd say he's right there at 5.
I'll give you that because look, he plays D, right?
And
all these other guys, you know, some of them play a little bit D, some of them, but Lance Stephenson hangs his hat on his defensive game.
Oh, he's two way all day. And remember, Jordan said he signed him because he liked the fact that he didn't back down to LeBron at all. He was like, I like that. He's like, don't be scared of him. Basically,
did he blow in Jordan's ear? Did he blow in Jordan's ear when he signed the contract?
Yeah, listen, if Jordan endorses you, that's all you need right there, baby. I'll take that endorsement any day. So let's go to small forward. I mean, you know, Paul George is not here. I still think I'd put George 4 after Carmelo. But obviously, 1, 2, 3, it's LeBron, Durant when he comes back, and then Carmelo. Who's the fourth best small forward in the NBA for this 14-15 season?
I have the young fella who just won the MVP of the NBA Finals, Kawhi Leonard.
I love his game.
And if he wasn't playing with Parker, Ginobili, and Duncan, he would be a megastar.
Really?
I'm telling you, this guy is a two-way player.
I don't know if he's quite there yet.
You're not feeling him on defense, on offense?
I think he might be 5. I think Rudy Gay is a pure scorer, and when he wants to play D, he can play some D.
Well, that's exactly it. Rudy Gay might be slightly more talented, but Kawhi Leonard, to me, is more consistent, and maybe because of Popovich being his coach, he's more grounded. I'd rather have Kawhi Leonard on my team than Rudy Gay.
Okay, so we'll put Leonard at 4. Then at 5, you could go with Gay, but I still would say, you know what, if you're going to put Gay 5, you got to tie him with the veteran Paul Pierce, because I'll tell you one thing, Pierce is not backing down to anybody on his basketball court, and you know that.
That's true.
You know? So let's look at power forwards. Could be one of the best talented positions in the NBA besides the point guard, and small forward. Small forward is top heavy. But I think power forwards are pretty deep with point guards. So, number one, I have Kevin Love, but Ray is trying to tell me that right now Anthony Davis is the best power forward in the NBA. Tweet at us. Let us know what you think. Listen, Ray, after opening night, I might have to agree with you. What was it, 26, 17, and 9 blocks?
Yes, I believe it to be the case. I think that at the very least, he's Marcus Camby, and at the best, he could be Tim Duncan. I mean, this guy is that good.
Nine blocks is serious.
He's unbelievable. He's young. He's athletic. He's got help on his shoulder. He has help. He doesn't have to play the 5. Remember, Tim Duncan in the beginning of his career had David Robinson at the 4, and only towards the end was he playing, you know, Shaq by himself playing the 4. So that saves him a little bit of wear and tear. I tell you what, this guy's the real deal. Now, the other guys on the list we'll talk about, they don't some of them have a glaring weakness, whether it's free throws, whether it's defense, whether it's, you know, on-ball defense, off-the-ball defense. This guy, Anthony Davis, to me, is the real deal. He has no weaknesses. And, again, I love the fact that he's young and athletic and grew up as a guard, just like DeMarcus Cousins, grew up playing small.
Right.
And then
he's got that natural
hand. His man body.
Yeah.
And so that just helps him.
So,
just like Hakeem Olajuwon was that young,
let me ask you a couple
athletic,
questions.
Soccer.
Opening night, Chris Bosh started at the five. Are we going to look at him in this as a four or a five? Because wherever he is for this season, Bosh is in the top five. I'll tell you that.
I think he's got to still be a four, just like
yeah,
for all those
yeah.
years that Tim Duncan.
Because most of the time they'll play
five.
Haslam and Anderson at the five. I think he's a 4-2. But so either way, so let's say if we go Davis, Love, Griffin, you know, then the question is, you've got Aldridge, Randolph, and Bosh. And Paul Gasol, the old veteran. What order do you put these guys in? And Duncan. I mean, see, that's what I mean. They're all sort of, I think they're all bunched up there. You couldn't really say any of them are better than the other. Maybe Aldridge probably leads the pack. I think Aldridge is more talented than Zach.
Especially because of this playoff run that he had, right? I think that
yeah.
really boosts him
no,
up
LaMarcus
a little bit.
Was big. But then what about Bosh? I think Bosh is going to get back to being that lead player. And he showed it opening night. He hit threes. He was in the post. Chris Bosh was everywhere opening night.
Chris
Bosh
remembered 4 years
yeah.
ago why he was signed to be part of the big three and not
yeah.
two and a half men like they called him for a couple
no,
of years.
No, he's been disrespected, and I think he's going to show that he's a Hall of Famer. I think Chris Bosh is a legit Hall of Famer, and I'd have to put him tied at four with LaMarcus. Chris Bosh is the man, and then we could put Zach and Duncan and Gasol sort of this, you know, giving them their respect because Duncan still puts up stats and Gasol is just, he's so talented, you know. But, you know, Z-Bo, man, I tell you, Z-Bo is, you don't want to see Z-Bo in an alley. You definitely don't. So let's go to centers. Let's go to centers. Your boy Dwight Howard's number one. You wish somebody out there was clearly better than him.
That.
But, yeah, you can't deny that. People like to talk about Noah and other people, but come on. Noah's not better than Howard. That's just disrespectful.
No, and you wouldn't
Either's
draft
Brooks
anybody ahead of Howard, even with his free throws and even with smiling all the way and trying to get physical with Kobe, throwing some elbows.
So now the question is, do you put Noah 2 over Marc Gasol? I do. I think even though Gasol got a defensive player 2 years ago, didn't necessarily think he deserved it. I still think Noah all around is a better, just a better player, even though they're both great passers. They both can, you know, Gasol's probably a little bit better offensively. I think Noah's probably a little bit better defensively, especially rotating off pick and rolls. But would you give Noah the edge over Marc Gasol?
I would give Noah the edge right now, but I do think he needs to look over his shoulder. You know, Marc Gasol, we've seen the best of Marc Gasol, but
yeah, he's not going to get better.
He's not going to get better. I would say that Al Jefferson, unfortunately, is on bad teams, and you know, maybe this year makes the playoffs again, but he's there. But
oh,
reading
Al Jefferson's
down his neck,
right there, too.
No,
I think Al Jefferson is – do you think Jefferson's better than Gasol right now? Maybe close,
I
but
think
he's
Jefferson is better than Gasol right now, but I would say breathing down his neck. If you go by, I don't know. It's so close. I think they're neck and neck, but maybe because of Marc Gasol's the way he passes and the way he can influence
the
game.
I'd have to give Gasol the edge over Jefferson. Jefferson also doesn't play great defensively, and you think that he should. He's just more all offense. So we'd have to give
The guy who I want to see grow into his own is DeMarcus Cousins. Because another guy who's so talented. I mean, he's like oozing talent. When he gets out of the shower, he leaves some more talent in the building when he goes home. I mean, this guy is so talented. You want to see him just become the best player.
Wait. Kids would say in the hood, whoa, pause. DeMarcus in the shower, pause, yo. They're calling you out right now at the barbershop on the block, Ray. They're calling you out. So DeMarcus would be tied for fourth with Jefferson. Now, the question is at five, right, would you go Brook Lopez or would you go Andre Drummond or would you give me somebody else?
You know what? I hate to say this because he's a good kid, comes from a good family, went to Stanford. I'm tired of Brook Lopez because of his injuries, not because of his game, not because of who he is. Now, you know his game will never be dominant, especially not on the defensive glass, which is the biggest issue that I have with him. And he's just an average rebounder for a big man. But he's a force on offense. He's a good player to play through, but he just can't stay healthy. And I can't deal with that. I love this kid, Andre Drummond. Andre Drummond is all boards. And he does it on a team where other people rebound too, right? Monroe and Josh Smith can rebound also. So I love
those Pistons started off 0-2. Oh, they scare me. And Monroe's a little banged up right now, but that Piston team too. I hope Van Gundy gets them right because I really do think they're talented. So I mean that's pretty cool. I mean you say Drummond five, you know you could put Lopez wherever. I think right now that's a good measuring stick, and I guess maybe we'll check in to see if any of these players or somebody else surprises us and cracks in. You know, maybe a Favors, Enes Kanter, maybe a Gordon Hayward at the three. Some of these young players, if somebody
Rondo,
sort of or Lillard clearly, or Lillard clearly shines. So it'd be interesting to see. So let's move on to the college football, man. And obviously, kudos to Florida State. They, you know, it's win in advance. They survived. I mean, it was 24-7, and that comeback was pretty impressive. I mean, before you knew it, it was 24-21 with the blink of an eye. They win 42-31. And your boy, what did he throw for? 401 on the humble, on not a great game. I mean, this is I guess we're at the point, Ray, where he's so – I think he might be underrated. It's weird to say, right? The kid gets ripped. Partially it's Winston's fault because all the antics off the field. But I don't know if we're looking at – what he does do on the field. Do you know what I mean? Because Florida State, like, there's all this stuff. But when you look at pure numbers, and Mariota, you know, his numbers are gaudy too. But, gosh, I mean, 401 and he didn't play good? Is that impressive or what?
Three touchdowns, three interceptions. So
no.
He almost gave the game away, right? They were down, what was it, 24-7?
Louisville was ranked number one defense going into this, not against the greatest opponents, but they still had a good defense.
But you know what, Jameis Winston, as you know, and I don't know what he did off the field. I'm only strictly talking on the field. So again, you know, I don't know what's happening in Tallahassee and what's going on. If there's something to be, you know, if there's smoke where there's fire kind of thing. I'm just talking strictly from a football sense. You know what he has? He has an old man game.
Yeah.
He goes on the field and is confident. But not in a negative kind of way. In a like, let's do it.
Who's he remind you of? Does he have a little Dante Culpepper in him?
Dante Culpepper, maybe. Dante was bigger, stronger, more athletic. He reminds me of. I hate to say it because this is almost blasphemy, but he kind of reminds me of Joe Montana in the sense that. When he's on your team, you feel like you have a chance to win. And
yes,
he'll figure out a way. He's not the most athletic. He's not the best arm. He doesn't have all the, you know, he's not Matt Stafford, the big, strong, or Dante Culpepper.
But you looked up at the end, and you won the game.
And he's leading your team to victory. You know, and I'm not saying he's Joe Montana, so let's not get a bunch of emails saying, oh, my God, Ray compared Jameis Winston to Joe Montana. He's, you know, 10 years and four Super Bowls away from that. But he is very impressive. I mean, for a redshirt sophomore, this guy is really, really an impressive young college football player. I don't know what that projects to in the NFL, but this guy has got to go down. I mean, like,
there's a niche.
Tebow.
There's definitely a niche. There's something there that you can't put your finger on, but. I mean, what is his record? Is he like 22-0 or something as a starter, 24-0? It's incredible. It's really incredible. So, hey, look, we shout them out. But let's get to these games on Saturday. We got three or four ranked games. TCU at West Virginia, number 7 against number 20. Ray, this one is fascinating to me because I think West Virginia has been underrated all year. And I love both these teams and their talent. And I think this game might be like, you know, 61-60. I mean, that's how good these offenses are. But I think what you're going to see is a little bit more defense from TCU. And I just think Boykin is just in a position where he's like a point guard, you know. He right now he's Jigga the Genius. Like he's just got everything going with his Wu-Tang style. And I think it's going to be too much for West Virginia. You know, I mean, you got to like, you know, Trickett and what West Virginia does. Shell's powerful, but Trickett? No, Trickett's the man. You can't
throwing up some unbelievable stats, and he's like under the radar screen, super, super efficient. I mean, he's completing almost 17 passes.
Yeah, no, and 17 touchdowns. But I'll say this, right? I mean, as great as his stats are, I mean, you look at Boykin, right? 21 touchdowns and the yards, 2,800 yards. So I'm going to take TCU on the road in the Big 12. I'm going to take them 48-45 in another Big 12 classic. Well, not too much defense, but a lot of excitement. TCU wins.
You know what? I love this kid, Boykin. On the ground, in the air, all over the place.
What is he? Is UPS or FedEx? In the ground, on the air.
I just have something, some little birdie tweeting in my ear that West Virginia has been a little disrespected also. Now, they've got two losses. They've lost once in the Big 12. But I think West Virginia is going to hold serve in Morgantown. And Morgantown's a decent, you know,
good fan base.
Advantage. They've got a great fan base down there. Shout out to my people in West Virginia. I think West Virginia wins. I think they run the ball a little bit better. Maybe they cause one or more turnovers, critical turnovers in the fourth quarter. I think they win this game. I would say it's fairly high scoring. Not as high scoring as you say, but let's say 30-28, West Virginia
wins. Ooh, a little bit of defense. Okay. Usually you go with the high scores, and I go with the low scores. But, you know, usually. So let's go to the classic matchup in the SEC. This is a battle, 3 and number 4, Auburn at Ole Miss. I got to tell you, I think Ole Miss right now, they've got to be so thankful. When those college playoff rankings came out, they were just, like, thrilled that they were still in the running, that LSU loss did not wipe them off the map. And I think Bo Wallace, Walton, and this team, they get another chance. Hugh Freeze won't make the mistake. He'll go for the field goal. I think that what they're going to do is they're going to be able, with their defense, and their defense is tough, they're going to be able to neutralize Marshall, Nick Marshall. And I think Ole Miss in a slugfest is going to win 27-23 over Auburn. How about them?
So Ole Miss, are they still the best defensive team in the nation? I mean, they're top 2 or 3.
Oh, yeah.
And
they're up there.
These guys are the real deal, and they can score themselves. And like you said, this team is predicated on explosive plays from Nick Marshall. And he is – I think they've seen him enough. I agree with you. I think Ole Miss is going to lock down and clamp down this Auburn team and really make it a 1 or 2 possession game throughout the game. And then home field advantage, I think, again, going with the home team, I think this is an Oxford. Yeah, for sure. And, again, the pressure is high-pressure game. I don't know if anybody in Ole Miss has played in a high-pressure game, you know, since high school. But this is a game.
Oh, they just had one a couple of weeks ago when they took down Bama, baby.
No, I know, but this one is where they're ranked in the top 4. They came out with the poll for the, you know, the final 4. Right now, if the season were to end right now, they'd be playing for the national championship. I mean, you know, playing in the national semis.
Yes, so now,
yeah, they still have Mississippi State at the end of the season. So that'll be their next, you know, killer game in the SEC, and then obviously the SEC championship. But this is the game where the monkey's on their shoulder. And I think these kids deliver. I think defense is going to be key to this game, and I think they lock down Auburn, and they win a pretty tight game. I think it's going to be pretty low scoring, 21-20 Ole Miss at home.
Wow. Well, Pac-12 play, we got 2 doozies, 4 ranked teams. You have number 12, Arizona, against number 22, UCLA. I got to tell you, Ray, I've been going back and forth on this game. and I'm very disappointed this season so far in with UCLA. And I think Arizona is, you know, Rodriguez has got them playing some good ball. I think their quarterback is underrated, this Solomon kid.
Yeah, Solomon doesn't get enough burn. I mean, getting all the burn, but Solomon having
he's got
just a good year, if not better.
Yeah. 20 touchdowns. He's like, he's balling out of his mind. Hundley's actually, with the offensive line and just the way they've been struggling, 14 touchdowns. I think we have a repeat. Just like Arizona went to Oregon and beat Oregon, they're going to UCLA with Wilson and Solomon and the Jones kid, a receiver. I'm telling you, Arizona is going to take prisoners and they're going to beat the Bruins. I'll say 31-27, the Wildcat.
By the time I get to Pasadena, I'm going to take the other one. I think that Hundley is going to scream at his offensive line and say, look, guys, if you protect
scream
me,
when he's
on
the ground.
A Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, the kid is completing 71% of his passes. So all you have to do is keep him upright, and then he can get it done. And this kid, Perkins, can run the ball, and Peyton, Duarte, he's got some receivers. He's got some talent around him, and he himself might just be the most fundamentally sound of all of these quarterbacks. You know, Mariota's maybe more explosive, and this kid, Jameis Winston, just doesn't lose. But I think this is the game where Hundley puts it together. I think UCLA surprises people and puts two halves together, and they win 30-23 at home.
Okay, their defense better wake up. All right, so let's keep it moving. The last game we got here before we get to the NFL, we got number 17, the Utah. Woo! Utah at number 14, ASU, the Sun Devils. Ray, I'm telling you, Utah's got the great, great defense. That's how they've been hanging their hat and winning. I think they have an injury on offense, but I think it doesn't matter. Their defense has been traveling. They've been playing pretty good. I like the running back that they got, the Booker kid, is pretty tough. But Arizona State is on a mission. They're on a roll. Taylor Kelly's back. You got Foster. You got Jalen Strong. And you got Arizona State, baby. Arizona State and Arizona are both going to crack the top 10 this week coming up. And the Pac-12 will be standing strong. I got Arizona State winning at home, beating you. 30-26, great game, Taylor Kelly. Taylor Kelly probably throws like three touchdowns.
I can't disagree with anything you said. I like Utah. I think they're a nice team. They're 6-1, 3-1 in the Pac-12, really coming out of nowhere. I don't think people expected them to be this good. But I think Arizona State is this good, and I think the Sun Devils do their thing. I think they win fairly easily. I think they put up, you know, a good 30, and then they hold Utah maybe to 20.
Aha.
Uh-huh. So I'm with you on Arizona State.
By the time I get
Arizona, though. By the time I get to Tempe.
All right.
If you walked, how far would it take you to go? Could you get there in a couple hours?
Nah, you still got to drive about 20 minutes to drive there. If I walked, it'd be a good hour and a half walk, I'd say.
You'd have to jog it.
Let's take a quick break and we'll talk about Arizona because they're going to raise Cowboys as we talk about the NFL Week 9. Ray and Tay today.
We're back to talk NFL. We brief because we want to bring you all the five top games. So you mentioned it, Cardinals at Cowboys.
it comes down to which of these teams is overrated and underrated. I think the Cowboys are a little overrated. I got to be honest with you. I think they were exposed last week. I think that they showed that they don't have, especially with Romo.
Well, Romo,
Romo's
probably not going to play. I think it's going to be Wheaton. They said a game time decision, but he's probably not going to play.
The only good thing about Romo not playing is that they realized that DeMarco Murray needs to get the ball on a regular. But the problem is that excellent Cardinals team knows that too. And I think
and
the Cardinals go in.
They're going to blitz. And the Cowboys
I think the
were not
Cardinals go into Jerry's world, and I think they win pretty easily. I think the Cardinals go put up, let's say 30, and the Cowboys can only put up 17. Brent,
okay. Well, listen, I'm upset with your Cowboys because they knocked me out of my survivor pool, so I'm pissed off, and I'm not going with them again for a while. They have to earn it. But I agree with you. I think Arizona's got it clicking, and they haven't played their best game yet. And to be the best team in the NFC right now, the best record, it's kind of surprising. So I think the Cowboys' defense, though, will get figured out. I think the Cardinals with Ellington and the offensive weapons at receiver, three good guys, and Fitzgerald and Brown and whatever, and Floyd should step up. You're right. I got Arizona winning. I'll say 27-20 over the Cowboys. In a pretty, interesting
similar
game. Yeah, definitely. So you got the, I guess we could talk about this Eagle game. We got the Eagles at the Texans.
The Iggies.
The Texans actually have not been bad this year. They've been surprisingly pretty decent. And with Arian Foster, they could take the air out of Chip Kelly's offense and the ball. The Texans, this could be a prime upset. You know, they need this at 4-4. They're at home. The Eagles are 5-2. But I'll tell you what, the Eagles, I think they're gonna scrap and fight because I think this team's got the fight in them. They showed it in Arizona even though they lost. But I think they'll pull out a good fight in this game. I got the Eagles winning a close one over the Texans, 24-23 Eagles.
You know what? I'm going to go the other way on this. I'm going to say if Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't turn the ball over more than once and Arian Foster can rush for 100 yards or more, maybe they get a play out of DeAndre Hopkins. I wish Andre Johnson were healthy and DeAndre Johnson a bowl.
Yeah, he's
but
playing
I think
banged
that
up,
Houston and Jadeveon Clowney is, what, questionable for this game?
Yeah.
He's not quite the player that he might turn into yet. So he's not quite – it's not like you're taking, Lawrence Taylor off the Giants in the mid-80s. So we'll see if he gets there. But I think the Texans have a chance to win the time of possession battle and keep the ball out of Chip Kelly's offense's hands. Instead of giving them, 12, 13 possessions, keep them to 7 or 8 possessions. I like the Texans in this game. I like the Texans in a close one. Call it 27-24.
All right. Now we got the Superchargers at the Miami Dolphins. Should be interesting. Miami's actually been up and down all season, but when they play good, they've been kind of deadly. But I'll take, I'm going to take the Chargers in this one because they're going to bounce back off that loss to the Broncos. And I think the Chargers win pretty easily. I'll say 28-20 over the Dolphins.
I like the Chargers also. I think they shut the Dolphins down. I think the Chargers D at times plays pretty well. I like Rivers. I like this kid Brandon Oliver to be the next Darren Sproles. Bigger kid, maybe he can take a little bit more abuse. Floyd Gates, I think they score enough points. I think the Chargers can put up 30 and hold the Dolphins to 10. Tannehill is the key to this game, whether he can limit the turnovers. And I think that Miami can't run the ball as effectively as they need to against this Charger team. Also, you want to keep the ball away from Phillip Rivers. So I think the Chargers win 30-20.
Well, Brady and Manning match up for the 16th time. Broncos at New England. This one is a coin toss for me. It's hard to predict. I just wonder which defense is going to step up the most. And I think it's going to be a perfect game, a shootout. I'll take the Broncos for some reason. 31-28, late field goal at the end. McManus kicks the field goal. The Broncos beat the Patriots in a classic.
You know what? I'll go the other way. I think that, again, I was super impressed with the Broncos They lost to Seattle, but I thought they earned their stripes a little bit in that game. They played tough teams like San Francisco, San Diego. I think the Broncos are getting tougher, getting ready for the playoffs. So I think they go into Foxborough and they win this game. I believe it'll be a tough game through most of the game, and then maybe they tack on a quick touchdown at the end. So I think the Broncos win 30-23.
Okay, so we both got the Broncos. I just had the Broncos winning by field goal. And then
yep.
Sunday Night Football, the Baltimore Ravens at my Pittsburgh Steelers. The offensive
explosion.
Oh, Lord. In the Hall of Fame, baby. Let me tell you, it's revenge. It's payback. We're on a roll. The Steelers take care of the Ravens because the Ravens are not as good as they've been playing. They've been a little inconsistent of late. And I think our defense, Shazier's back, and we're stepping up. The Steelers win in a less of an offensive explosion, 30-23 over the Baltimore Ravens.
I think it comes down to how well each team runs the ball, and I like Le'Veon Bell behind that offensive line better than I like Justin Forsett, even though I have Justin Forsett on my fantasy team.
Do you have Martavius Bryant, baby? That's the guy you need.
I saw you picked up Martavius. Boy. No, but I like the Steelers. I like the Steelers in an old-fashioned AFC North slugfest. I think Antonio Brown catches a few first downs, but ultimately it's all about Le'Veon Bell. I think he runs for 110 and two touchdowns. I think Ben Roethlisberger makes big plays at the end. Pittsburgh wins 23-17.
Two quick questions before we wrap it up. Does RG3 look good in his comeback at Minnesota for the Redskins? He's playing.
I think he looks okay. A little rusty, not as good as he'll look in the next 2-3 weeks. But I think RG3 will be back. I don't have a problem with RG3.
And can Mike Vick get a shocking upset on the road in Kansas City and play good for the Jets?
I think he can. I think the Jets are 1-6. They're not that bad. And
no, their defense
is
good.
An up-and-down team.
That's my upset special, baby. J-E-T-S, Jets. I think the Jets are going to win this week. I think they will. And watch the Rams against the Niners. Although off the bye, the Niners should win. But watch that one, too. Hey, listen, it was great. Great show. We'll be back on Monday. Everybody
happy trick-or-treating.
Be safe out there, trick-or-treating.
By
you know,
the way, can I just say one thing? It's a little trifling that people have Ray Rice trick-or-treating outfits. Come on, y'all. That's not even funny. And I'm all for being, you know, funny and humorous and have fun on Halloween. But don't run out there with a Ray Rice trick-or-treat. You know what I mean? That's not even right.
It's just not funny. It's not funny. So, and it's not even a knock to Ray, right? You know, you're allowed to make a mistake and redeem yourself. And we wish Ray the best and his wife and his family. But it's just off color for no reason for Halloween. Like people get, I think sometimes Halloween brings out the ugly in people. It really can. So everybody be safe. Don't throw no eggs. Be smart. have fun. I got William as Godzilla. Elijah is a Ghostbuster. I told him that I worked on Oz and an independent film with Ernie Hudson. So he's being Ernie Hudson, a Ghostbuster. And Jackson and Mateus are M&M. A J and M M&M.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, man. And dad is nothing. Maybe I'll be a Steeler fan or a Seahawks fan.
Dad is a bodyguard.
Yeah.
Maybe you're like Kevin Costner in the bodyguard.
Right. I'll be an S1W. Shout out to Chuck
funny.
B. So thanks for listening. And have a great sports weekend. Should be some classic games this weekend, Ray. Should be a good sports weekend.
Yeah, we'll have a
enjoy
lot to
the hoops
talk
about tonight.
On Monday.
Yeah, enjoy the hoops tonight. Some good basketball. Let's go Cleveland, Chicago. Should be fun. Rain day.
All right, y'all. Great weekend. We're out.